Paul writes, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We saw already what that means is all sorts of men, all kinds of men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. I believe verse 3 pertains back to verse 1. What is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior? That we pray for all sorts of men. Don't let prejudice keep you from praying for men's souls and for the glory of God in their salvation. It may not always be His good pleasure that we lead quiet and peaceable lives. There may be some disruption, but one thing's for sure, in all of it, we're to pray to that end. Pray for kings, but then we say God's will be done, however He's pleased to do it. Because it says here in verse 8, who will have all men to be saved. And again, leave the proper interpretation is all sorts of men to be saved, whether it's rich or poor, whatever the race, He has a people that He's purposed to save from all tribes and nations and tongues, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So at first glance in reading this chapter, I realize it's much like reading a book of genealogies. If you've ever been a guest in somebody's home where they're all caught up in genealogies, and you, after they get done at the dinner table, you sit in the living room and they bring out these books of genealogies that they've been working on. You know, it's of interest to the person working on it because there's some link to it. But if you get caught looking at it, those names mean nothing to you. Thinking, okay, how many more pages of this are we gonna go through? My wife and I met a couple last night coming out of IHOP when we were going in, and somebody we know, and she had just gotten back from Baton Rouge and all excited about being down there, walking through the tombstones and monuments and reading, getting names. This is what she's into now, all these genealogies and all the excitement over this. And we're just standing there thinking, okay, we're about ready to go ahead and grab us something to eat. But it was no interest to me because I was detached from everything that she was saying, but it was of interest to her. Now, when we come to this particular portion, we do have an interest in this history. I know you may be scratching your head wondering what kind of interest do we have in this. Well, let me tell you. Let me give you three things here. First of all, it's because it's the history of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? What His soul desireth, even that He doeth. That's the connection between God's purpose and eternity and what unfolds in time. We just learn about it. He purposed all things from eternity, but we can have no idea what that will is, even down to our own lives. We can't know even 1 second from now. All I can tell you is that when things unfold, individually in our lives, or whether in our families, or whether in our nation, or in the world, everything is unfolding exactly as He purposed. I don't know about you, but that gives me some rest, because there's a lot of disturbing things that exists not in the world, but even in our own hearts, getting right down to what this heart is. And when the Lord exposes it to us, especially our pride, we make our plans and we determine our way. Next thing you know, it goes another way, like a vehicle veering off the road, and you sit back and think, whoa, wait a minute, what had just happened? It's God unfolding His purpose.